Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this, the seventh Sunday of Easter, this in-between time, we turn our attention again today to the promises of God. And what a promise we have been given today, that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That means the same benefits, the same gifts, the same power that God the Father gave to his Son Jesus, he gives to you and to me. And what a promise that is. What an inheritance that is. An inheritance now that we can live in, but one that will last for all of eternity, as we heard in our reading from the book of Revelation. Now, the good news for us this morning, as we are heirs of this promise, is that we have an advocate, we have an intercessory who goes to the Father on our behalf when we forget the benefits that we have received as the children of God, as those who have been adopted into the family. And Jesus prays for us. That's what we heard in our gospel reading for today, that we would be recipients open to experiencing what it means to truly be the heirs of God. Just listen to Jesus' words. He says, "I do not ask for these only," and he's talking about his disciples, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word," that's us, "that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me." So two guys were sitting in a bar when they struck up a conversation. One asked the other, so where are you from? And the response was, "Well, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri." The man who asked the question said, "Really? You know, wow, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri too. What part of Kansas City are you from?" The man said, "Well, I'm from the central area." Oh, the central area. You're from the central area. Well, so am I. What high school did you go to?" "Well, I went to Memorial High School." "Oh, wow. You got to be kidding me. I went to Memorial High School as well. Let me ask you another question. What year did you graduate?" "You kind of look about 1984. "Oh, you've got to be kidding. This can't be real. You graduated from Memorial High School in 1984? This is crazy. Don't tell me that you grew up in the Smithville neighborhood." You wouldn't believe it, but I did. I grew up in the Smithville neighborhood." "This is weird. What was your address?" "Well, 1401 Alamosa." "1401 Alamosa? No way! I grew up at 1401 Alamosa." About that time, the phone rang. It was the bartender's wife. She asked, what's going on down at the bar tonight?" The bartender responded, "Oh, nothing. It's just the Johnson's twins drinking too much again." Sometimes it can be real easy to forget who we are. To forget who we are as we deal with the troubles of life, the fears and the failures and the uncertainty of it all. As we find ourselves in this in-between time, waiting yet hoping, trusting yet doubting, holding on to the promises of God, yet forgetting who our Heavenly Father really is. But let's not forget. Let's not forget who our Heavenly Father is, because you see, our Heavenly Father, our God, is a promise maker. As He offers us the promises of His blessings, of forgiveness and life and salvation. As he makes promises of protection and providence, and promises that give to us a hope and a future. See, our Heavenly Father is a promise maker, as he makes promises that can really and truly change us. You see, more than just a promise maker, this God of ours is a promise keeper. As He does what He says He's going to do. And you see, God, our God, is doing a new thing. He's in the process of molding and changing us, so that we can actually be the people that He made us to be. His sons and His daughters, the very children of God, heirs of His promise. As we learn to be people who live with unshakable hope. People who are trusting in His promises and putting those promises into practice. Jesus talked about that, right? We spent a lot of time looking at that verse from Matthew about hearing God's word and putting those words into practice. Because Jesus says that's where real wisdom is found. Not just hearing them and letting go in one ear and out the other, but actually hearing those words and those promises of God and putting them into practice. Because you see, Jesus knows that if we are people who are hearing God's word and putting them into practice, we will be standing on a sure and a certain foundation. Jesus is saying, if you want certainty in a crazy world, then hear these promises of mine and build your life on them. If you want real change in your life, not just going through the same motions over and over again, don't just hear my words, live them out. And that's why over the next few months, we're going to be focusing on some of the promises of our God found in Max Lucado's book, Unshakable Hope. Today, we're going to be people who are choosing faith over fear as we learn to build our lives on the promises of our God. Because you see, our God, our Heavenly Father, comes to us with a message of invitation. He comes to us so that we can come to Him, so that we can listen to Him, so that we can trust in Him as we live in the assurance that we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, adopted into His family, so that we can begin to truly live as His dear children. Living this new life that is ours in Christ. For you see, in Jesus, in God's Son and our Savior, we have one who has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. Through His death and resurrection, Jesus has kept fully and completely the promises of His Father. And in doing so, giving us what we so desperately, desperately need, so that we can stand secure on the promises of God, even as we begin to live those promises out. Because that's our mission, that's our calling, that's our purpose as followers of Jesus, to stand firm on the promises of God as we tell others of God's love for them. Because we are the ones who have experienced God's love in our lives, and it's that love of God that changes things. It changes us, it changes who we are, and it changes how we actually live our lives. As we're not just people who are hearing those promises, but are actually trusting in them, as we begin to live differently, as we begin to reflect the very heart of God and begin to bring these promises to the people that God brings into our lives, to our neighbors, to the next generation, so that they can begin to experience this life-changing love of God and be followers of Jesus too. And this can happen when we are people who are living with unshakable hope, as we are living out our God-given inheritance. For this is the promise, hear it again, from Romans 8:17. We are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. Now, his 62-year-old body was found beneath an underpass out in Wyoming. There was no sign of foul play, no indication of a crime or mischief. A homeless drifter had died of hypothermia. Timothy Henry Gray was a victim of bad breaks and bad luck. Except for this one detail. He stood to inherit millions of dollars. You see, Gray was the great-grandson of a wealthy copper miner, railroad builder, and founder of a small Nevada town you might have heard of, Las Vegas. And yet, Timothy Gray died alone, worth over $19 million. You know, each of you has been given an inheritance. More valuable than cash, more permanent than gold, more precious than diamonds. You and I, we are heirs of the King, sons and daughters of our God. You see, we aren't slaves or servants or even saints of God. We have been Roman numeral one. We've been adopted into the family. Given the legal right to the family business and fortune of heaven. The will has been executed. The courts have been satisfied. Your spiritual account has been funded. Isn't that what John discovered as he stood in the kingdom of heaven? That God's name have been written on our foreheads, that we are his, marked as his very own in the waters of baptism, assured of an eternal destiny. Isn't that what Jesus prayed for in his high priestly prayer? That we would know and believe that we are a part of the family. Point number one, chosen by our God. Chosen and loved in the deepest part of our beings, in our in our fears, in our failures, in our struggles. Chosen and loved as children of the Heavenly Father, heirs of the promise, made in his likeness, made for his glory. But sometimes it seems to me that we just don't believe that. And it shows in our lives, doesn't it? As we tend to focus on our own resources, but end up running on empty, worn out and tired out and broken down. As we rely on our own solutions, but finding no real answers. As we fail to consult with the one who has so much to give, and as a result, limiting ourselves to our strength and our wisdom and our power. But our Father has so much to give us, as we are, point number two, given his abundance. You and I get this, you and I have everything we need to be everything our God desires us to be. Need more patience? It's yours. Need more joy? Ask for it. Running low on wisdom? Your God's guidance is free for the taking. You see, your Father has so much to give. So much hope. So much forgiveness. So much life. St. Paul understood that when he wrote these words in Romans chapter 8. You may recognize them, but it's taken from the Message Bible. So that it's a little bit different than you may recognize these words. But listen to what Paul says about how much God has to give us. He says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, what's up? What's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us. An unbelievable inheritance. And you see, this inheritance is ours even now. So choose it in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulations. Live in this inheritance as you face anxiety, as you deal with dread. It has been given to you, and as a result, you have been made a new and a different person. Made a new and different person in the death and resurrection of Jesus. For it is Jesus Christ who has given us our inheritance. He is the one who took our sin and died our death. He became one of us, God in the flesh, and in love He gave Himself and the promises that because He lives, new life is a guarantee for you and me. Life now, life eternally, as our God will make all things new, you and me included. Because you see, God's love for us, it changes our circumstances. And sometimes we don't even know the forces that are working against us. Last week, we drove up to Minnesota for a graduation. 400 miles. Eli and I made it up in 5.5 hours. And get this, 38 miles to the gallon. Now, it was pretty smooth sailing on the way up. Good weather. Well, we had a little bit of rain, but not too bad. Good roads, good music. We were jamming to Led Zeppelin on the way up. Not so much on the return trip home. It was windy and it was rainy. It was crowded and it was slow. And I only got 29 miles to the gallon on the way home. And it got me thinking about how often we don't even recognize the forces that are working against us. Not only our own habits and our own hang-ups, but those outside forces that we heard about last week. The devil and his evil forces that lie to us, that trick us, that seek to destroy us. But you see, Jesus recognizes those things even when we don't. And that is why He is praying for us. That is why He is interceding for us as we live in this in-between time. That's why He comes to us in this in-between time in his body and his blood, so that we can be people who are Roman numeral 2, living out our God-given inheritance. Living it out in the way that we live our lives when we face times of hardship and difficulty, when the future looks bleak, when things are out of control. We can be people who are trusting in the promises of our God as we learn to live with unshakable hope. As we are, point number one, empowered by the Spirit to be people who choose faith over fear. Knowing that our inheritance is sure and certain. We are not outsiders, but people who belong, who have a future. We are not people who are alone, but we are filled with God's Spirit, empowered to live differently, to live godly lives, as we, point number two, as we reveal our Father's glory. As we live as sons and daughters of the King, ready to live out this inheritance as free people, as forgiven people, as people who are ready to live differently, as we live as one, representing our Father well, as we live as heirs of the promise. We recognize that our God is doing a new thing, and he's doing it through people like us. Because you see, you're no longer an orphan. You're a child of the King. And now is the time to live out our inheritance as we live as people who are following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.